Good morning. We thank you for tuning into our radio program today. This program is brought to you each Sunday morning by the Parkway Church of Christ. I want to remind you that these programs are uploaded each week to our website. Our website is called parkwaychurchofchrist.com. parkwaychurchofchrist.com. You can go there and find past programs, also pulpit sermons, and other written materials that you can use to study the Bible. We would encourage you to do that. And today we encourage you, as I mentioned last week, elaborating a little bit on a passage from Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, where it talks about the Bereans being noble-minded in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. We want you to think about that as well. So we again today encourage you to take your Bible, if it is possible, and look up these scripture references that we will be citing today. Last week, I spent some time talking about the soul, talking about the spirit. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 16, verse 26. And I want today to talk about the destiny of the soul. This is important for us to remember. We get so in our physical day-to-day activities, secular matters, social matters. We just get so bogged down in the things of the world, things that are physical, that I think maybe we just don't take enough time to consider the spiritual. I think young people are particularly being affected by that right now. Church attendance is down. Interest in spiritual things, interest in the Bible, belief in God, all of these categories are polling down, particularly with young people. And what is that? Well, it's because the younger you are, the more of a tendency there is to think about the things that you can see. Things that you can see, things that you can touch, things that you can do and be a part of. And we think of that in the physical world. And so there's just not the degree of interest in the unseen and spiritual things as there should be. So those who are older, those who might be more inclined to listen to a program like this, need to appreciate that. We need to train ourselves to be able to, maybe in some cases, teach the younger, but also in some cases, merely to remind them of the importance of the soul and of spiritual things. Paul talked about the two realms over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Two realms. He said one has to do with the flesh, the outward man. Verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 4. Paul said, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Now, of course, that first statement we need to take note of, though our outward man perish. The better rendering of that is perishing. The outward man is perishing. And, of course, that is a biblical reality, but it's also a scientific reality. The outward man is perishing. We're born to die. It is a matter of inevitability. We need to remember this. And as I said, youths have a tendency to not think that way. They think what the way it is now is the way it will always be, and I won't have trouble. And even though others maybe have health trouble and things of that nature, it won't affect me. Or the mind is just a defense mechanism and keeps us from focusing upon that or concerning ourselves with it. And that can really affect younger people. I want us to remember that passages like this are basically to remind us of reality. What is real? Over in Hebrews chapter 9, Paul said, "As it is appointed unto men once to die," verse 27, "but after this, the judgment." It's appointed. We have, as they say, an appointment with death. It's a matter of time. It's not as they say, if. It's a matter of when. And so we need to remember that. So Paul's saying that in a different way in 2 Corinthians 4:16. Then he says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look." Now friends, here are our two categories. Two categories. He says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So what are these two categories? Temporal things and eternal things. There are no others. These are the only two possibilities. Things that are temporal and things that are eternal. So what can we learn? What can we focus upon if we think about a passage like this in connection with the verse that we talked about at the end of the program last week, Matthew 16:26. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What can a man give, and what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So this is something that's sobering, and we need to think about it and think about it regularly. You have the temporal and you have the eternal. Are we preparing for the eternal? And doesn't the eternal have more importance based upon the fact that it is eternal rather than being temporary? The physical body is temporary. Physical things are temporary. The earth, even, and the universe are temporary. 2 Peter chapter 3 talks about a time when they will melt with fervent heat. The universe. He says, the earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that these things ought to be dissolved. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 10 and 11 and 12. He asked the question, what manner of person should you be? And I think that's such a pertinent question. What type of person should you be? In view of the fact that these things are temporary, the physical body is temporary, the universe is temporary, the earth, that includes the earth, it is temporary. What type of person should you be? Now, I want you to think about the context. He goes on and says, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation or conduct and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Last week, because of course I had mentioned, I prefaced the program emphasizing the soul on those tragedies. Now, when you think about the two numbers together between those lost in Florida over the hurricane Milton and the previous Helene that affected so many in North Carolina, we're getting close to 300 people. You think of, and particularly if you think of the ones that they've not yet found. So think about the loss of life there. These things just happen so quickly, and we think of how temporary our physical bodies really are. And then the universe itself in 2 Peter chapter 3, it's not going to last forever. There are people who would love, they just fixate on this, they tend to be somewhat carnal and materialistic, and they think, boy, I don't want to lose my stuff. I'm assuming that, you know, things will just last forever. No, they won't last forever. They're not designed to last. Jesus talked in Matthew chapter 6 about laying up treasure on the earth and what happens to it. Moth and rust. And I don't care who you are, you can relate to one or the other or both of those. Moth and rust. Right now, you know, if you think of in the machining world how big titanium is, how big stainless was, these things last only so long that those basic materials will begin to break down. They may last longer. They're metals that will last longer than other metals. But moth and rust, the principle of decay. And then even, I was noticing some things they were digging up in that from that deluge they had over North Carolina, and things that were very good and valuable before, and they were ruined. And some of the things from the tornado, you looked at the twisted buildings and all of those things, and tornadoes in general, and you think of things that were strong and good and effective and useful, absolute rubbish. You take a big front-end loader and scoop it all up and pile it up somewhere. It's really unbelievable. So even durable materials can be put into the category of temporary. So I want us to think about this a little bit. Did you notice there, as we were reading, on the one hand you have the soul, and on the other hand you have the physical body, 2 Corinthians 4. And the physical body is perishing, but now the soul continues on. Things which are eternal are forever. And then you start thinking about, well, wait a minute, what about the quality of the soul? What about its spiritual condition? And then we have two other categories. Two other categories again. Within the category of the eternal, what lasts forever, you have two possibilities. Now, I only was able last week to briefly comment on this, and that's why I wanted to talk about it today. Two more categories. This time, the category of reward and the category of punishment. So Peter talks about this question that is begged by the simple reality that everything that we know, things as we know them to be, life as we know it, will come to an end. The physical universe will come to a close. It will come to an end. It will be, as the Hebrew writer talked about, and you know, I don't often use this passage as an end times passage, but that's exactly what it is. In Hebrews chapter 1, where it talks about creation, it says in verse 10 of chapter 1, "And you, Lord, in the beginning has laid the foundation of the earth." By the way, this is God the Father speaking to God the Son. "And the heavens are the work of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall wax old as doth a garment." Notice he said that the heavens, the universe, and the earth, the foundations of the earth, will grow old. They will grow old as a garment. And he says, "As a vesture shalt thou fold them up." As you would fold your shirt, it will be folded up. "They shall be changed." But he said, "You are the same, and your years shall not fail." Like chapter 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, but I'm not focused on that point here. This is not our purpose for this passage. Notice that he talked about the universe, the heavens and the earth, being folded up like a garment. In other words, it serves its purpose. It serves the divine purpose, and it's taken out of the way. So Peter talks about the same thing in 2 Peter 3. Then, of course, this begs the question, in view of this, verse 11, 2 Peter 3, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what type of person should you be?" Well, that's a provocative question. It's very thought-provoking. Given this reality, given that all of these things will come to an end, what type of person should I be? Given the fact that the only thing that is going to remain are things that are eternal, then what type of person should I be? Well, that's why Peter ended that question with the explanation, "In all holy conversation and godliness." Because if I'm going to survive this spiritually, I'm going to have to conduct myself properly, and I'm going to have to be godly. So how do you do that? And why is that? Because of the other possibility. And I want to remind you of that, and then we're going to talk about what it is that we must do, how we must be in our conduct in order for this to work. Over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul is talking about the persecutors. He begins in this text talking about the persecutors of Christians. And he says in verse 6 that it is a righteous thing with God to recompense or deal out, mete out trouble or tribulation to them that trouble you. It's a right thing with God. Vengeance does belong to God. That's what he's quoted as saying. Vengeance belongs to me. The Hebrew writer quotes him on that in Hebrews 10. I will recompense, saith the Lord. So, notice what's going to happen. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance. Now notice that the first group, the group being troubled, the saints, these were those who were living out their faith. Verse 4, they were dealing with persecutions and tribulations. Verse 4, enduring those things. God has in mind, he has in store for those who are causing those persecutions, great tribulation. And then in verse 7, he says to you, to that group, to Christians, rest with us. Rest with us. Be at peace. The Lord is coming, and what is he going to do? Verse 8, in flaming fire, taking with his mighty angels, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I was preaching, and I now have preached a couple of lessons on this recently, on the basic concept of discipleship. What is a disciple? A disciple is a learner. A disciple is a follower. A disciple, you hear in the word I pointed out, is one who follows a discipline. And so it's logical then in 2 Thessalonians 1:8 for him to say those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of Christ will suffer the vengeance of God. Now, what will be the nature of their punishment? Here we go back to the soul. What's going to happen? Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, in the next verse there, after he said, what manner of person ought you to be? He said, you're going to be looking for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, a new abode with God. Jesus said he was going to heaven, John 14, to prepare a place for the disciples. He said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Where I am you, there you may be also, verses 1 through 3 of John chapter 14. Now, that's heaven, right? And Paul said, you people can rest with us, rest assuredly in your souls that you will not be the victims of such vengeance of God. You will not be in that group. Those in that group are those who refuse to know God and who refuse to obey the gospel. The same in 2 Peter chapter 3, where he started out talking about mockers, scoffers, who made fun of what the apostles were preaching about the end of the world. And Peter said, now you don't have to be in that group. You won't have to be punished with that group. You need to live lives that are in proper conduct and that are godly. What type of person ought you to be in all conversation, holy conversation, and godliness? We need to lead holy lives. We need to lead lives that are spent knowing God, 2 Thessalonians 1:8. And that obey the gospel of God. So we're obedient. It's not faith only. And what type of punishment is this? Verse 9, I was asking. who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. Everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. So, Paul, in 2 Corinthians 4, where we started, talked about the earthly man, the physical man, and he said that man, that outward being, the outward self, is perishing, it is dying. But the inward man is being renewed day by day. And then he said, we look not on things which are temporary, but on things which are eternal. And this is what we're talking about. We need to focus upon the eternal, and we need to focus upon being prepared for eternity. Now, why did I say that? Because we have read already this morning in multiple passages, there are two possibilities. There are two possibilities with regard to the soul. Eternal life, new heaven, new earth, dwelling with God, or eternal punishment. Paul called it everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Then, and to state it differently on the other side of it, when He shall come, verse 10, to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe. So you see, there's the idea of living a glorified eternity with Christ, in the fellowship and immediate presence of God and Christ and the Holy Spirit and all of the faithful, for those who know God and who obey God. Sadly, for those who do not obey God and do not know God and do not obey God, it is everlasting destruction. Everlasting destruction. Now, what do we mean when we say everlasting destruction? Not many years ago, there was a popular idea posited that, you know, really God is too loving to send anyone to an eternal hellfire. So that must be something else. Everlasting destruction just must mean destruction that has everlasting consequences. So they made up this argument that the soul will be completely decimated. The soul will completely be obliterated, and it will not exist. So that really what Paul is talking about is a destruction of the soul that has eternal consequences. Is that what you're reading in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1? Let's see. Let's let the Lord Himself answer that. In Matthew chapter 25, in the judgment scene, Jesus talked about two possibilities. Two possibilities. We've seen several of those, and I emphasize that today because people always try to come up with some third, fourth, fifth, or multiple other possibilities where the Bible allows for only two. We saw this when it came to two possibilities regarding existence. You have the temporary life, the physical life, the outward man, and then Paul said you have what is eternal, what is not seen, the unseen and the seen. So there were two possibilities there. There were two possibilities with regard to eternity, and those are eternal life or eternal punishment, right? You're seeing those things here in Matthew chapter 24. Verse 34 says, the king shall say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And he mentions the reason here. These were people who acted in like Jesus did in the capacity of servants of God, obedient to God, knowers of God. But then there's another group, verse 41, those on the left. He will say to those, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, I was asking this question about what happens to the soul. Is the soul completely obliterated? Does it cease to exist in the end of time? That is, if you're wicked. always thought that was interesting. The position that teaches the absolute dissolution, the abolition of the soul, they take this idea only for the wicked. And then the righteous soul gets to go on and be rewarded. Let's see if that will pass the test of Matthew 25. So Jesus said, as he goes on, the end of the chapter, "These shall go away into everlasting punishment, those who did not follow the Lord's instructions." They will go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. There are two things to learn here. First of all, he talks about things that are equal in a sense, but then opposite. Equal and opposite. You have two things mentioned with regard to time. Eternal punishment and eternal life. So the length of time for the one being punished is equal to the one length of time for the one being rewarded. The same Greek word is used both times. Now, I know that the old King James says everlasting punishment, but then switches to eternal life. I don't know why they did that, because it's the same Greek word for both terms, eternal and everlasting. So just keep in mind, and I think there are Bibles that render this the same, so it answers it for us in some of the other translations. But keep in mind that when it comes to the time, it is equal. Now, what about the condition? Well, the condition is opposite. On the one hand, you have life. Life. On the other hand, you have punishment. Both are eternal. There's a big difference between eternal life and eternal punishment. Eternal punishment is that eternal destruction that Paul talked about. The eternal life is the glorification that Paul talked about, the reward. And the Bible is so clear in describing these differences. Jesus repeatedly in the book of Matthew talked in parables, talked about the consequences of not serving God, and he described the punishment as being a place where there would be weeping and grinding, wailing and gnashing or grinding of teeth. Matthew, for example, Matthew 13 and verse 42, you see this again over in Matthew chapter 25 with the one talent man who didn't apply himself and didn't try to serve God. Weeping and grinding of teeth. Now what do you think of? I think of the word in Matthew 25 and verse 26. Eternal what? Eternal punishment. Pain will be inflicted. It's amazing how many people have conditions that are painful, that you know. And many of us have had pain. You have surgery and recovering from surgery, or you have a serious back issues or other issues. You can have chronic pain. So many of us can immediately relate to this. Can you imagine if you had no relief for your pain? Many of us have had pain where you're so happy at the point where you get some relief from your pain. You have, serious back issues can do this to you, and you finally find that position where you're at some ease. We can relate to this. These are terms and concepts that we can relate to. Can you imagine having a condition of pain forever and it never having relief? No relief and forever. What about the opposite? What's equal and opposite of that? Eternal life, everlasting life. And Revelation 21 talks about, in verse 4, talks about the conditions that will be in heaven, where there will be no more sadness, sorrow, crying, tears, pain. Those are the former things. They've passed away. And so we can appreciate this. These are the prospects for each soul. The question is, what type of person ought I be? We thank you for listening today. We hope you'll tune in next week for another study. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day.